The state's bear population has been on the rise while their habitat has been shrinking. Is a return of bear hunts the answer? This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. Back in June, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission decided to allow bear hunting in Florida for the first time in 20 years. The season will open on October 24th and could last for up to a week. Some are appalled by the idea, like Frank Jackalone. He is with the Florida chapter of the Sierra Club.
Hunting of Florida black bears is a vile proposal. This is a tragic day for Florida wildlife and for the majority of Floridians who are nature lovers who and want to see Florida black bears protected.
Others, like Bob Andrew of the Southwest Florida Sportsmen Association, say the bear hunt is necessary.
It's up to you as our stewards to regulate the amount of them. I'd rather see them harvested than starve to death. And that's what'll happen.
Joining me from Tallahassee is Dr. Thomas Eason, Director of Habitat and Species Conservation with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and on location in Virginia, a veteran of the Florida Wildlife Corridor Expedition, consultant for the National Wildlife Refuge Association, and noted bear biologist Joe Guthrie. Hello to you both. Welcome.
Good morning, Carson. Good to be here.
Dr. Eason, this I have to start off by saying this is a very emotional issue for a lot of people. I'm sure you've heard this. The gut reaction among some folks is a bear hunt. Why a bear hunt?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would like to say is contrary to how it's being portrayed in the media in a lot of circumstances, the hunt is not about solving human-bear conflicts in suburban areas. The good news is Florida as a whole has been successful at recovering black bears from historically low levels, and we're now working to manage that success. And part of that is managing bear populations, which hunting is a well-established, effective way to help manage bear populations across the country.
Joe Guthrie, thinning a herd is a common wildlife management practice. What is your reaction to it?
Well, I think hunting is a really important part of conservation. Often cases are that that populations need to be managed, and this is, you know, it is a tool for management. So we are at the point, I think, with a couple of the populations in the state that it can be sustained.
So, well, do you agree that the bear hunt is the best way to move forward with this?
Well, I think good science-guided adaptive wildlife management is the best way to move forward. You know, I think that our wish is that this decision to hunt could have been delayed until the most recent current numbers can be processed. Which would be a year out from now, as I understand it. But I think the truth is that with some of these populations, that the older, you know, some of the older data could have been used to justify a hunt some years ago at a very low level, and in some just in a couple of the bear populations. But people need to understand that there are disjunct populations in the state, scattered kind of across the state. There are seven different subpopulations, and each one of them has unique challenges, and some of them certainly aren't in the position to sustain a hunt. And in fact, the bear management plan that the state approved in 2012 makes explicit the need to genetically connect all of the subpopulations. And as a veteran of the Wildlife Corridor Expedition, I'd like to, you know, emphasize the importance of protecting habitat and wildlife corridors to allow that genetic interchange to happen.
Dr. Eason, is all the science in on this? As Joe suggested, there's more to be done. Are all the numbers in? Is the state acting too soon on this on the bear hunt?
Well, science is never done, and so as Joe pointed out, we have good population estimates for all of the populations that we're having a hunt for this fall. And to build off of what Joe said, we've been working on bear management here in the state for decades. I actually came to Florida in 1999 as a statewide bear conservation biologist after getting my master's and PhD doing bear work all over the eastern United States. So there's a large foundation that we're building on. The hunt is definitely polarizing for folks, but I would just come back to what Joe said. Our bear management plan breaks the state up into 7 bear management units. Those are the building blocks because there's different dynamics in play for each of those areas for bears. Regarding hunting, we're only proposing hunting in those bear management units where we have strong bear populations, so it's not a statewide effort, and we're definitely still protecting the smaller populations and working to allow them to grow and expand. And then I would add the Wildlife Corridor Expedition is a excellent project, and we've been happy to be involved in that, and we definitely are emphasizing habitat conservation with connectivity being one important element. So our bear plan has 4 pillars for bear conservation, the first being sustainable populations, the second being sufficient habitat, of which, you know, connectivity is an important part, as Joe pointed out, and then managing human-bear conflicts and education and outreach. So those are the 4 pillars that hold up and make up our bear conservation program, and habitat is one of those important elements.
Back in June of 2012, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission removed the bear from the state's threatened species list. That means officials believe the bear is no longer at high risk of extinction. Is that what that means?
Yes, and that's part of the conservation success story. You know, bears had been state listed as a threatened species for a couple of decades, and the good work of lots of people, including Joe and others, has led to populations expanding from historic remote areas and increasing in density to where they no longer meet the criteria for being considered at elevated risk of extinction here in Florida.
Joe Guthrie, the Florida black bear once ranged throughout almost all of Florida, even the Keys, and then southern Mississippi and Alabama and Florida. Now, I'm from East Tennessee, so I know all about those Smoky Mountain bears up there. I was really surprised the Smoky Mountains only have around 1,500 black bears. Florida, it's around 3,000?
Well, we, right, based on the 2003 estimate, and you know, with 7 kind of disjunct populations, mostly disjunct populations, Dr. Eason can correct me here if I'm off base, but the Apalachicola, East Panhandle population, the Ocala National Forest Central Bear Management Unit, and the Big Cypress South Florida Bear Management Unit are the 3 kind of strongest populations, and there's increasing evidence that there's a building connection between the central bear population and a North Florida bear population that's centered on Osceola National Forest and may carry over across the border into Georgia.
Yeah, Dr. Eason, yes.
I just wanted to build on your question. I actually did my doctoral work in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and the number of bears estimated up there is much larger than 1,500 that I heard you say, particularly when you think about all of the other public lands around Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Absolutely. I think within the park boundaries, which, of course, is a much smaller area than, that section of the Appalachian Mountains. But still, I think what I was trying to point out is Florida has a rather high population of black bears. I think 3,000 is a lot, especially considering back in the 1970s when we were only around 300 bears, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I just wanted to make sure that the comparisons to eastern Tennessee, North Carolina, those are large, strong populations of many thousands of bears up there. And here in Florida, again, as Joe points out and our bear management plan does, we have 6 or 7 relatively distinct subpopulations of bears. And so Florida has a different dynamic, and that's why we're tending to take a conservative approach to hunting and other measures.
Joe Guthrie, you sort of touched on this a moment ago. How many bears can Florida's habitat support these days? I know that habitat is shrinking, but we have too many bears right now for the habitat to support it successfully?
Well, there's a lot in that question. It depends on the context and in the context of the individual subpopulation. Right now there seems to be quite a lot of immigration of young adult males pressing out of particularly that central Florida population north of Orlando and connecting over into the St. Johns River Basin. There are quite a lot of juvenile males pressing out into the surrounding countryside, sometimes getting into neighborhoods, sometimes finding their way into currently unoccupied habitat like the Green Swamp between Orlando and Tampa. And that process has a lot to do with competition for resources, trying to avoid competition with older, more dominant males. And so it's a dynamic that changes across populations. Just a few miles west of that central Florida population is a very small population at Chazawitska National Wildlife Refuge and Chazawitska Wildlife Management Area, which FWC oversees. And for years, there's been virtually no inputs, no genes from outside populations coming into that bear population. And you've got a situation now where it's among the most genetically impoverished bear populations in the world. And so just in the space of a few counties, you see the full spectrum from a conservation standpoint.
Dr. Eason, is there a target number of bears that FWC would like to see culled from the current population?
Our management efforts, again, in those four areas where we have strong growing bear populations, the goal is to work to stabilize them at current levels. So our harvest objectives is tailored within each of those bear management units to try to achieve that. And then I would add to your question to Joe about, are there too many bears? And Joe was hitting on what a lot of us would call carrying capacity, biological carrying capacity, which is a challenge to measure, particularly for something like a bear where the populations tend to fluctuate around food resources and other things. But there's also the what's called social carrying capacity, where it's the number of bears that people will tolerate on the landscape. And those two numbers are not always in sync with each other. And so as managers, we're trying to balance what the habitat can support, making sure that we have healthy, stable populations of bears, and then particularly in the wildland-urban interface, there's a lot of work trying to figure out how to find that balance of what people will accept and are willing to work with as the number of bears in those areas.
Now, Joe, I know Florida bears are not territorial, typically, and since we do not yet have that wildlife corridor that you've been searching for in recent years, has the idea ever come up of taking black bears from an overpopulated or area to one that's underpopulated, sort of spreading them around?
I'll answer that question. I'd want to emphasize that that following up on Dr. Eason's answer, that the corridors are a good management tool, finding ways to protect agricultural land, the working landscapes between our protected areas, which can act as sanctuaries. And then we do, if we find conservation easements and conservation measures that can keep working landscapes intact and habitat corridors intact between our protected areas, that can act as a buffer and keep some of that wild urban interface from coming into conflict, I guess. Keep wild animals from grading into the urban interface. Anytime you have to capture a bear for management purposes, and definitely if you're moving that bear, you're spending a lot of money and you're doing something that's just not very good for the bear's survival. They are extremely good at homing. So if you move them from their home range, they're extremely good at finding their way back. It's uncanny. They can be moved hundreds of miles and find their way back to where they were in just a few days. And also what it does is it removes, you know, often if you have to catch a bear for management purposes, for nuisance behavior, that's as much a human, that's more a human problem with, you know, humans probably providing food, making food accessible to bears. And when you move the bear, I've found in my time at working as, you know, working in bear management, that moving a bear tends to take the pressure off the people responsible for giving food to bears, making food available, and they don't change their behavior. So I think it's important as bear managers, and I have enormous respect for the guys in the bear management section at FWC. They have incredibly difficult jobs managing people almost as much as they're managing bears. But that exposes bears to a lot of risk. They often end up dying in their effort to get home or to establish a new home range far from where they started.
Coming up,
bears are big food finding machines, and garbage and other things that are pretty gross to humans is like a smorgasbord for bears.
I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Carson Cooper. My guests are Dr. Thomas Eason, Director of Habitat and Species Conservation with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and veteran of the Florida Wildlife Corridor Expedition, noted bear biologist Joe Guthrie. We're talking about the Florida black bear and the bear hunts approved by state officials for this October. Dr. Eason, I'm really interested in something you said earlier in the show, and that was that the reason that the state wants to conduct this bear hunt is not because of human-bear encounters. It seems like that's all I was hearing about when this bear hunt was being talked about among the media.
Yep, good question, and I think it's the timing of all this, and I can definitely say that particularly the four attacks, serious attacks on people in suburban areas, got a lot of attention focused on our bear management. And so I think what a lot of folks are reacting to is part of our comprehensive approach, hunting came into the mix sooner than I think a lot of people were thinking about. But again, it's one element of a comprehensive approach, and we have lots of elements that are directly focused on human-bear conflicts. We've adjusted our policies to remove bears that have any level of public safety threat to humans. We're working with waste management on getting comprehensive waste management out there in ways that reduces attractants for bears in urban areas. And we are out there with bear response agents and increased staffing the legislature gave us over the last several years. So we are out doing a lot of directed efforts specifically at trying to address human-bear conflicts, which comes down to food. Bears are big food-finding machines, and garbage and other things that are pretty gross to humans is like a smorgasbord for bears. And once they find those easy food sources, they're going to keep coming back because they're programmed to fatten up for winter, and they find those high-calorie foods and take advantage of them. Yeah. That's the core issue with human-bear conflicts, and again, hunting is supportive of that, but not directly focused at those dynamics.
Now, Joe Guthrie, you're the bear expert here, certainly not me, but from what I've learned, Florida bears, they're solitary, they're not territorial, they don't defend their range from other bears. They have excellent eyesight, hearing, and especially an excellent sense of smell. So, and I think folks who have gone camping or left their garbage cans out know all about that. What kind of personality does the Florida bear have? What's its disposition?
That's a great question, and it really comes down to the individual bear. They're very interesting animals, very intelligent and adaptable. They use a wide variety of habitats over the course of a year, moving from one hot spot to the next where there's good fruiting, food available, hot spots. And so, but their disposition, I guess, can be summed up as just highly, highly adaptable, sensitive to food availability, human pressure from roads. And so they're animals capable of making complex decisions. And unfortunately, they're they're really prone to food food hotspots and becoming what we call habituated on human food. So when they find an easy meal, they're very likely to come back to that area and try and have the easy meal again. And I think you see people, encountering these bears and finding them cute and cuddly and wanting to feed them, wanting to see them be around. And pretty soon, you create a situation where they can easily become habituated. And that's a problem not only for the landowner or for the people who are doing the feeding, but it becomes a problem for everyone in the neighborhood, everyone around, and potentially much further out in the landscape. There's the potential for those problems to move much further out in the landscape because bears are so mobile. But as far as their personalities, they're generally a retiring, shy animal. People live their whole lives in Florida and don't see them. They live in the woods. They're surprisingly hard to see in the forest with their black coats. They're highly attuned to what's going on around them. So oftentimes when they sense humans, they will hightail it and be out of sight long before they're seen.
Dr. Eason?
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize what Joe did right there at the end, that through my research, interacting with hundreds of different bears, bears are like people. They each have their own individual personality, but predominantly across all bears, they co-evolved with grizzlies and other large carnivores, and they are a subdominant animal. And so they hide, they run away, and when people see a bear standing up, it's not because they're threatening. The bear is trying to look and smell and hear and see what's going on, and then most often they're gonna turn and amble or run off at that point. And so bears are not aggressive by nature. They are large, strong animals, and so the challenge is, as they come into contact and get food conditioned and habituated to people, they get used to being around people, and people don't know how to act dominant to bears, and it starts breaking down that natural fear. And that's where, particularly in these suburban areas where we have large numbers of bears and people interacting, even though bears, the probability is exceedingly low, if you have enough interactions, eventually a strong animal like that, there's some likelihood of a negative encounter. And that brings us back to, to the food and working with waste management and getting people to change human behaviors to accommodate more bears on the landscape and not create problems.
And Joe Guthrie, when are bears most active? During the day and during the year, for that matter?
Well, it depends, again, on the context. Oftentimes you'll see bears that live in close proximity to humans being active at night. But they're naturally a diurnal animal where they have peaks in their activity right around dawn and dusk, and activity throughout the, maybe at a low level throughout the daylight hours. And that's what, I found in my research in South Central Florida, looking at activity and movement of bears that we had GPS collars on. We saw bears being active, again, with a peak during the dawn hours and right at dusk, and grading some into the early twilight hours. Then in terms of their activity throughout the year, we're right in kind of the peak time for breeding in the state of Florida right now. So you're seeing, and really probably across the range of the American black bear. So you're seeing adult males making long movements out into the landscape, crossing lots of areas they may not be very experienced with, in search of mates. And oftentimes you'll see the home range size, the annual home range size, the area that a male bear will use over the course of a year, will be three or four times larger than that of an adult female, because males range widely to breed with as many females as they can. Whereas adult females will be kind of living in a more concentrated area. Then in the fall is another real peak of activity as they stay active a lot of the times throughout the 24-hour period, trying to put on weight in preparation for denning.
Dr. Eason, the fall, the hunt is to begin October 24th and to last for how long?
Up to 1 week, and again, that's per bear management unit. So we're tailoring the hunting to the dynamics of each bear management unit.
Quickly, what are the objectives? How many? When would you cut it off?
So the objectives are to stabilize the bear populations within each bear management unit. There's no perfect number for that, but we have our estimate of the population size. In general, if mortality is at or below 20%, you're going to have a stable to increasing population. And we've looked at known mortality in the different bear management units, and then we've set our harvest objectives to not exceed 20% total mortality.
You're limiting, go ahead.
I was going to say that varies anywhere from 40 to 100 bears within any one bear management unit. And again, if we hit those numbers, we then can close the season in that bear management unit to ensure we don't exceed our objectives.
You're limiting hunters to one bear, but you're not limiting the number of permits issued. How many do you expect to issue?
That's a good question. We don't know. I can tell you back in the early 90s when the bear seasons were closed here in Florida, we were getting anywhere from 600 to 700 people involved in the hunt. We're not sure. We're thinking there's likely going to be a peak of interest given that bear hunting hasn't happened in a while. But it would just be a guess. But I would say at least 700, and from there, I'm not sure how high it may go.
Well, now, will all bears be fair game, or what about mothers with cubs or juvenile bears? I mean, what will hunters be allowed to hunt?
Yep, so some of the restrictions in that regard are any bear less than 100 pounds is not legal to harvest. That's to protect cubs and smaller bears. Females that have cubs with them are not legal to harvest. And dogs are not going to be part of the harvest. There's a long tradition in many states, including Florida, of hunting bears with dogs, but we're taking a conservative approach and not allowing that, as well as you can't hunt over bait, which several other states and provinces do. So we have a lot of different elements in place to ensure that we take a conservative approach and make sure we have healthy bear populations out there.
Dr. Thomas Eason, Director of Habitat and Species Conservation with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and bear biologist Joe Guthrie. Thank you both for joining me on Florida Matters.
Thanks, Carson, and thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much, Carson. It's nice to talk to you, Dr. Eason.
And that's it for today's show. Our show is produced by Lottie Watts with help from Steve Newborn and engineered by Craig George. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.